Ever dealt with temptation, whether it's food, lust, or even sex? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Here at Urban Family Talk, we stand for truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Believers have the power to withstand the temptation of the enemy. Get empowerment to stand at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Again, the Gospel of John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verses 1 through 14, John chapter 15. Lord, we thank you for your word, the wonderful gift your word is to us, and thank you for the great privilege, the blessing, the honor, and the opportunity that we have of being able to open your word every day of our lives and spend time with you one-on-one, listening to you share words of wisdom, counsel, guidance, direction, empowerment, encouragement, and so, so much more as we spend time with you in the word. Lord, help us with every passing day to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word, and help us, Lord, as parents to be wise enough to faithfully and diligently teach and train our children to stay in the word every day as well. But Lord, help us also to make it more and more of a lifestyle to encourage others everywhere in the world in which we live to become students of your word and thus receive the blessing that comes from abiding in your word. Thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift your word is to us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I'd like to remind you once again, we want to encourage you to take time to go to our website at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Again, that's UrbanFamilyTalk.com and subscribe. There on the website, you can find some great blogs and articles that will encourage you in your walk with the Lord and encourage you as a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we do have free mobile apps we'd like to encourage you to get for your iPhone and Android devices. Just go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk, and after you get the app, you'll be able to take Urban anywhere and everywhere you may go. And finally, let me remind you once again, we're still just a few days away from Share-a-thon, and still hoping that many of you that haven't already called in and shared a listener testimony will take the time to do that. Again, some of you might be thinking, well, that's just not me, or I don't think I want to call in, I don't want to share. Well, please think about it and remember this, that The Lord may use you to bless and encourage other people as you just simply share how the Holy Spirit has worked through Urban to encourage you as a believer, to encourage you in your walk in prayer, in your the act of you becoming a more of a faithful student of the Word of God, or just a follower of Christ in some way or another. If you'll just simply call in and share a listener testimony, again, it can bless others and encourage others to maybe to call in as well. But you'd be surprised how the Lord can use a simple few words of testimony to encourage others in their walk with the Lord. That number is, if you'd like to do that, is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Call and share a listener testimony. Again, we'd really appreciate hearing from you. Today here on the Hour of Intercession, we're looking specifically at the topic of living in the land of obedience. Again, living in the land of obedience. And keep in mind, Psalm 119, verse 105, which is one of my favorite verses in all of the Word of God, simply says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, amongst other things, remember, God's word is many things. The word, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Word of God. But also keep in mind, God's word is the will of God. So if you want to know God's will, you look in his word, because in either direct statement or in principle, God's word covers every issue, every matter, every concern. So remember, the word of God is the will of God. So if you want to more and more know what God's will is, read and meditate and study his word each and every day. But also, don't stop there. Remember, we're told to go into all the, as Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us in the Great Commission, we're to go into all the world and make disciples. We're to live a lifestyle of encouraging others in their walk with the Lord and helping them to grow in the Lord, a lifestyle of sharing the gospel so that others can come to know Christ as Lord and Savior of their life as well. So as we look at the topic of living in the land of obedience, I want you to keep in mind that God's word is his will, and his will is his word. We read from John chapter 15, and here in that chapter, it talks about abiding in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to abide? To abide in the Lord is to stay in close fellowship relationship with the Lord. And of course, as we grow in our walk with God, we learn the tools that help us to stay in close fellowship relationship with the Lord. One of those tools, of course, is your prayer life. As you spend time with God in prayer daily, that's one of the great ways whereby we stay in close and intimate relationship with the Lord. As we pray, the scripture that we quote as we begin the broadcast on a daily basis says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Also, another tool along with your prayer life is, of course, the Word of God. As you spend time reading and meditating on God's Word, it helps you to know and walk more and more in the will of God as well. But keep in mind, one of the huge weapons Satan uses in all of the world and in all of life is ignorance. Again, trying to keep people ignorant of what God's word says and ignorant of the will of God. Remember, the abundant life is found in the will of God, and the word of God is the will of God. So the more you read and meditate on the word of God, the more you're able to walk in God's will and walk and live a life of obedience. On the other hand, when you don't know God's will, you can miss God every time, because the fact is, knowledge of the word of God is so important. Remember, God's word is his will. And so if you want to stay in the will of God, you should stay in the Word of God as well. So remember, ignorance is a weapon the devil uses all over the place. Not knowing the Word of God, not knowing truth, not knowing the will of God. Reminded of the story of a family that lived in a foreign country. And one day they got a package from someone in America. The mother said, the only person we know in America is Aunt Nana. Aunt Nana has lived over there a long time. I know she's probably getting up in age by now. She's been over there a long time. We haven't heard from her for a long time. Surely the package is from Aunt Nana. Well, they open the package and they find a strange brown container. They open it up, and one of the children reaches in and sniffs, and it makes him sneeze 7 times. And then the father reaches in, dips his finger in, and pulls it. It's an unusual substance, and he tastes it and says, "This tastes like pepper." And the father and mother quickly conclude, "Apparently Aunt Nana sent us from America. She sent us some American pepper. Let's try it in our soup tonight." So they put some American pepper in their soup. Makes their soup absolutely delicious. So they use the American pepper in their soup. And All week long, they're eating their soup, and they said it makes it taste absolutely wonderful. And they spend almost the entire jar that week eating their soup with American pepper. And on Sunday, they said, you know, on Sunday, that should be enough. We should have enough American pepper left for our last batch of soup. And Dr. Smith, he's coming over, and he can eat dinner with us, but also he can read English. So we'll let him read the note that came in the package from Aunt Nana. So, of course, they use the American pepper all week long. And on Sunday, they use the last little bit of American pepper in their soup. And Dr. Smith, he agrees. It's the best tasting soup he's ever had. So after they eat dinner, they sit down in the living room, and then they say, "Now, Dr. Smith, please read us the note written in English from Aunt Nana." So they sit in the living room. Dr. Smith opens the note up, and he looks at it, and then he says, Then finally says, "This note is not from Aunt Nana. It's from someone who knew Aunt Nana. Aunt Nana passed away about 3 weeks ago. She was cremated, and she sent you her ashes to be spread in the wind over her country. What happened to Aunt Nana? They ate her." Well, what's the point of the story? Well, the fact is, ignorance can sometimes cause us to do some silly things. Sometimes ignorance can cause us to do some strange things. Sometimes ignorance can cause us to do some foolish things. And sometimes ignorance can cause us to do some fatal things. Ignorance is dangerous. What you don't know can kill you in some instances, but if not, it can hurt you in other instances. But the point is, though, don't stay ignorant. Become a student of the Word of God. And because it's in the reading and meditating on of God's Word, you come to know the will of God and you come to walk in it as well. So be a faithful student of God's Word, and you'll be continually learning more and more of the will of God. I want you to look with me in the book of Ruth, in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, beginning at verse 1. I want you to keep in mind, the book of Ruth is a powerful story that holds a unique place in all of the Word of God. The book of Ruth takes place in the time of the judges, which is a really kind of a dark time in the history of Israel, because it was during the time of the judges that the commentary from Scripture is that people did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, people just kind of made up the rules as they went. They weren't seeking to necessarily honor the Lord or follow the Lord, but were living all sorts of unruly lives. And so you find lots of darkness, sadly, in the history of Israel during the time of the judges. But the book of Ruth is a bright spot in the time of the judges, because it tells of the grace of God and the mercy of God at work in the life of a particular family. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of her two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband." Now, as you continue to read on in chapter 1, you find out that, of course, as the story tells, Naomi, her husband Elimelech died while they were living away from Bethlehem, Judah, in the land of Moab. Now, keep in mind, the book of Ruth is a true story, but also it's a story with great depth of meaning. Remember, when God inspired the Word of God, not only did he give us truth in the stories themselves, but he placed truths within the truths behind the stories. And, of course, in this case, one of the tragedies behind the story of the family of Elimelech and Naomi was they apparently moved away from Bethlehem, Judah. And remember, Bethlehem, Judah stands for House of Bread in the Land of Praise. They left the House of Bread in the Land of Praise and moved to a country called Moab, which was a cursed land, a cursed country, a place where God's grace was not abiding. And so it was basically, in essence, an act of disobedience on their part. They left the place of blessing during a time of famine. And remember, sometimes in our walk with God, we may go through difficult times, but you always stay with God. You stay in close fellowship with God. You don't ever abandon or turn your back on God. But in essence, the actions of this family were more or less turning their backs on God. And in other words, it was sort of like leaving the land of obedience and moving to the land of disobedience. And sadly, there Elimelech dies. And then after they remained there for a period of time, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died as well. Well, Naomi is now left with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And we're going to pick up on the other side of the break here. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're today looking at the topic of living in the land of obedience. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
I had an opportunity to speak at my church recently, and I spoke from Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. In this scripture, Moses is given instruction from God concerning the children of Israel and what he is to say to Pharaoh. I thought it was interesting that God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt straight into a desert experience. When the Lord gave instruction to Moses, he said, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go so that they may serve me." Oftentimes when things get hard, we tend to pull away from our relationship with the Lord. Oftentimes when we are in our dry place, we forget that this isn't God's first rodeo. He's gotten us out of or kept us in our dry places before. For the children of Israel, their journey to Canaan was only supposed to be 11 days, but because of their murmuring and complaining, it lasted 40 years. Remember the next time you have your desert experience, how you get in will certainly dictate how you come out. Trust God in the desert place and don't forget to worship. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Urban Family Talk, equipping you with God's truth.
This is Wesley from the great state of Texas, representing the Alexander family. I just thank God so much for our Urban Family Talk, for all of the shows, Aaron Addison, everything that equipped my family. It's just a blessing to be here, to be a faithful listener, but at the same time to be a contributor. So I just thank God for both these blessings. And my wife and I and my children have been blessed by it. And I just pray that every radio program on Urban Family Talk be blessed, be prosperous in these last days. Thank you, God bless. Love you guys.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day share-a-thon starting April 4th. Listener-supported Urban Family Talk, boldly standing for truth.
Far from ease, and the load I can
Music from the group Commission, the song Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're looking today at the topic of living in the land of obedience. You know, the Word of God tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The fact is, it's very important to understand that obedience is the work of knowing the will of God and obeying it. And understand this, truth is always meant to be applied. You don't just learn truth from the Word of God to say you've learned it, to know it. The goal is that you would apply it and thus receive the blessing of obedience that comes from applying and walking in the truth of God's Word. So as we look in the book of Ruth, remember, huge ways that that is applied, obviously, in the book of the characters in the book of Ruth, but also in your life as well. The fact is, it's one thing to read God's Word. It's another thing to really live it day by day. The Bible calls us we're to love one another as Christ loves the church. We're called to walk in the love of Christ every single day. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about walking in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Does not boast. It is not proud. Ask yourself the question. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and ask yourself the question, am I walking in patience? Am I a kind person? Am I a thoughtful person? Am I a rude person? Again, 1 Corinthians 13 is a great gauge to really look at and really look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word there and ask God to help you to walk in the love, the kind of love 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. We're looking in the book of Ruth, and before we went to the break, we were looking at the fact that, again, Elimelech and his wife Naomi, they packed up their family and moved to the land of Moab. Again, they left Bethlehem, Judah. Again, Bethlehem means a house of bread. Judah refers to the land of praise. They left the house of bread and the land of praise and moved to a cursed land, Moab. And tragically, there in that cursed land, Elimelech dies. And not too many years after that, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also die there as well. Well, after a while, Naomi is wise enough to decide that she's going to pack up and go back to the land of Bethlehem, Judah, which really does represent the land of obedience. It's the place where God's people dwell. It's the place where God's blessing is as well. So she's wise enough to pack up and move to Moab, but she makes a mistake. One of her mistakes is she encourages her daughters-in-law to go back and stay in Moab, whereas she really should have said, you all come on, go with me back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the land of praise. You'll be much better off there. But sadly, Naomi is in a backslidden state, and she encourages them to stay in Moab, that cursed place. Well, tragically, Orpah takes that advice, and she goes right on back to Moab. But by the grace of God, Ruth has come to put her faith and trust in the God of Israel. She's come to put her faith and trust in the God that she's come to know through the family of Elimelech. And so she now has put her trust in the Lord, and she's decided, I'm going to serve your God, and Naomi, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to take care of you. Because remember, Naomi is up in age. She's an elderly person. And elderly widows were amongst the poorest people in the land in Israel back in that day when they had little or no means of support from either a husband or a male in the family. Again, they were amongst the poorest of the poor. So Ruth, being a young woman, she too is a widow, but she's a young widow. So she's able-bodied and is able to work and help take care of herself and help take care of her mother-in-law. So she's decided she's going to go with Naomi back to the land of Israel, to the place of blessing. She's going to serve God, and she's going to serve her mother-in-law. And these famous words in Ruth chapter 1 tells us, after Naomi encouraged to go back, Ruth just lovingly shares these words with her mother-in-law. Verse 16 in Ruth chapter 1 says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. So Naomi stops trying to encourage her daughter-in-law to go back, and she and Ruth make the long journey back to Bethlehem. And after she gets back, again, the town is a little bit stirred because they remember Naomi. And Naomi, she realizes I guess she probably thought they would remember her. But she has some discouraging words as she comes back. She says to the townspeople who greet her in verse 20, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty, home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" And, you know, it's a reminder of the fact that, tragically, often in life, when we make mistakes, do things that really are in disobedience or just things that we knew better, often we're too quick to blame God and ask God, "God, why'd you do this to me?" when many times we simply did it to ourselves. Remember, when we sin, we choose to sin. Again, nobody makes us sin but ourselves. We choose it when we do choose to disobey the will of God. And remember, every act of obedience is followed by an outpouring of grace in your life. Every act of disobedience is followed by a loss. Remember, sin always is followed by loss 100% of the time. Even when a person may say, "Well, I'll just do this little thing. I'll just tell this little lie or be unpleasant in this situation. It won't really make much of a difference." No, remember, all sin leads to loss. And some loss is much greater than other loss, but all sin leads to loss. That's why it's better to obey God than to disobey and then tomorrow confess it, ask God to forgive you. And remember, God does forgive sin. But remember this, you would be better off obeying, because remember, in obedience, there is not a loss. But in disobedience, there's always loss. So always remember that important truth. Well, in chapter 2 of Ruth, we find that Ruth is willing to go out in the fields to do what is called gleaning. That's a job that typically some of the poorest people of the land would do. They'd go behind the farmers, go behind the reapers during harvest time, and they would reap and basically pick up some of what was left and would be allowed to keep that. And it was referred to as gleaning. And again, it typically would be poor people that would do it. But remember this, hard work is honorable. You know, sometimes we think of some jobs as being more lowly than others. But remember, hard work is honorable. If a person's willing to work, that's an honorable thing. And the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. It doesn't glorify God in any shape or form to be a lazy person, a lazy man or a lazy woman either. On the other hand, God honors hard workers. If you're a hard worker, sooner or later, God will promote you if you're a hard, diligent worker. On the other hand, lazy folks oftentimes get fired, and rightfully so. No matter how much you may call yourself a Christian, if you're a lazy person, you're not honoring God in that area of your life. And the fact is, hardworking people are honoring the Lord in that discipline of working hard. Well, Ruth is quite willing to go out and glean in the fields, and she comes to the field belonging to a man by the name of Boaz. As it turns out, Boaz is one of the richest landowners in the community. He's a rich man, he's a rich farmer, and he has plenty of people working for him. And so Ruth goes and gleans in the field of Boaz. And when Boaz arrives on the scene on the day Ruth arrives, he quickly notices Ruth, and he notices she's out there in the field, and he asks his foreman about her. And the foreman just quickly informs Boaz that she's been working hard out in the field. And Boaz actually already knows who she is, because someone has told him about the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who has come back with her from the land of Moab. And so Boaz approaches Ruth and lets her know that she's welcome to continue to glean. In fact, he invites and encourages her to glean in their fields and to stay gleaning in their fields throughout the time of harvest. He's very kind and very generous with her. And Ruth is very humbled that he's so kind and thoughtful. And he even gives her a generous portion of grain to take home to her mother-in-law. And then as we look in chapter 3, something interesting takes place. Chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it tells us these words. And of course, let me say before I read here, Naomi is thrilled that Ruth ends up in the fields of Boaz, because she knows Boaz is a kinsman, and he's a kinsman redeemer who's a family member that's able to help them redeem the land that has been lost by her family. Chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you are with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." And notice specifically what Naomi tells her. "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he is finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Now, one of the powerful things that you see about Ruth throughout the book is Ruth is a very gracious person, a very honorable person. And obviously, though Naomi encourages to go back, Ruth realizes it's a right and a wise thing for her to go back with her mother-in-law to the land of Israel and help take care of her. So no matter how much Naomi encouraged her to go back, she refused. But on the other hand, you see that Ruth is wise enough to listen to godly counsel. And, you know, real humility is willing to listen to godly counsel as opposed to people that kind of are sort of know-it-alls who feel like, well, you can't tell me anything. I know what to do. Well, the fact is, as believers, none of us always know what to do outside of the Word and the Spirit of God. So we should be wise enough to listen to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and listen to wise, godly counsel. That's what Naomi was giving to Ruth, wise, godly counsel, and Ruth followed it. Well, again, just to kind of abbreviate our time a little while, Ruth does what Naomi directs her to do. She goes to the threshing floor, and in essence, Ruth proposes to Boaz. Well, keep in mind now, this is a situation where Boaz could decide, yes, he'll take her up on the offer, or he could say, no, I'm not interested. But of course, as you know the story, when Boaz is approached by Ruth, Boaz is honored that Ruth would approach him. Apparently, Boaz is a number of years older than Ruth, and he's honored that this, from his perspective, this beautiful young woman would even approach him in that regard, and he's honored at the thought. But he quickly lets her know there's another kinsman redeemer who has the first right to both Ruth as his wife and to the land that their family owns. And so Boaz graciously lets her know he has to give the other person the first right to redeem the land and thus to marry Ruth as well. But if the other person's not interested, then Boaz lets Ruth know he is very willing to do that. Well, chapter 4 opens with Boaz pursuing just that task. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Now let me pause here. Now notice what is taking place. Boaz very honorably is giving the other kinsman redeemer the first right because the other one is entitled to the first opportunity to redeem this land. So he's quickly very much interested because apparently this other kinsman redeemer very much wants Naomi's land. But then Boaz informs him that there's another part of the package deal. Well, he goes on to explain, verse 5, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now notice, interesting what happens. The other kinsman redeemer very much wants the land, but then when he realizes there's a wife that goes along with the land, he very much does an about face and quickly decides, nope, never mind, I'm not interested. You get the land, you get the wife. I don't want either one. And he gives Boaz that option. Now keep in mind, interesting here, where the other kinsman redeemer wants the land, but he doesn't want the wife. Well, the fact is, Boaz, he's not that concerned about the land, but he very much wants to marry Ruth to be his wife. And of course, Boaz does just that. He marries Ruth and he redeems the land. And keep in mind, they end up being a beautiful couple that end up honoring the Lord. We'll pick up on the other side of the break there as we look in the book of Ruth. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of living in the land of obedience. We'll be right back.
The church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's not easy to follow the Bible's command to be in the world, but not of the world. He'll talk about how to keep from caving in to that temptation today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The further you go in the ocean, the more pressure you're under. You get to the bottom of the ocean and you're under so much pressure, it can collapse a whole ship because the pressure is so great. When you go to work tomorrow, you're going to be under pressure to think like they think, walk like they walk, talk like they talk. And the more secular your world, the more pressure you're under to conform to this world order. And like the bottom of the ocean, it seeks to collapse you into its image. But one thing the ocean can't do is collapse a submarine. A submarine can go all the way down to the bottom floor of the ocean and everybody fine because it's been pressurized. That means that the pressure on the inside is equal to or greater than the pressure coming at it from the outside. So there is so much pressure on the inside that the outside, while still pressuring, does not overrule what's taking place on the inside. You may not be able to change your environment. You may not be able to change the circumstances that are pressuring you. But if you get enough God on the inside, He can neutralize the pressure coming at you from the outside that you can exist in that world without being crushed. Buy it.
And it all begins with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Find out how you can start that new life today. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the word Jesus at the top of the page. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
You're listening to the music of Nicole C. Mullen, the song On My Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Lord, thank you for every person that's a part of our listening family today. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the wonderful way your word is such a gift to us in so many ways. Lord, I pray that you'll move upon the heart of every listener to grow in their love for your word and their commitment to fill their mind and their heart with your word every day. In fact, Lord, move upon us to fall in love afresh with your word. Help us, Lord, to recognize there's so much blessing, so much strength, so much encouragement, insight, and wisdom that pours into our lives as we spend time reading your word each and every day. Lord, thank you for stories like the story of Ruth and Naomi and stories of Samuel and Moses in the Old Testament and the stories of Paul and Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior in the New Testament. So many stories that teach us truths that will transform our lives, that will help us to come to know you and to live for you every single day. And Father, help us to be wise enough not only to fall in love with your word, but to help to teach and train our children to do the same. Help us, Lord, especially as parents and those that work with young people, to recognize that when we stir and when we're your instrument through which you reach and stir a young person to begin to really get into your word, that you've allowed us to be a part of a wonderful, wonderful transaction. You allow us to be an instrument through which you do a mighty and an eternal work in the life of a young person when they come to really love your word. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word in such a way that every day we'll come to love it more and more, read it, and obey it. Help us, Lord, to live a lifestyle of obedience and thus live in the land of obedience. Help us to not visit the land of obedience from time to time. Help us to live there, to stay there, and thus receive the blessing of living in the land of obedience. That is, living in a life where we're abiding in your word and walking in its wisdom every single day. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful story of Ruth and so many other stories that teach us to love you, to serve you, to follow you. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking today at the topic of living in the land of obedience. And again, we're encouraging you to make it a habit and a lifestyle of being one who daily reads and studies the Word of God. And in fact, I often like to encourage believers to have a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. That's a good basic spiritual meal to nourish your mind and your spirit and your life. But if you decide that's not enough, wonderful. You can't overeat the Word of God. It only increases the flow of grace and blessing in your life as you read and meditate more. And if you think 3 chapters a day is a lot, well, you can read your average 3 chapters in about 15 minutes. It's not that much time, but it may literally be the most valuable time you spend all day long doing anything. Because remember, when you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with the Creator of the universe. When you're reading God's Word, God is talking directly to you. The Bible is His microphone into your life. And remember, when God talks to you, He's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace, peace, power, encouragement, and strength into your mind, your heart, and your life. There's nothing we need more than the Word of God. There's nothing that our children and our grandchildren need more than God's precious Word. Well, in concluding our look at the book of Ruth, again, a powerful story. Remember, Ruth is one of 2 books in the Bible named after women. It's a powerful story. It's an encouraging story. It's a love story, amongst other things. But also, it has some powerful truths and insights about life. It's also a story, a book that powerfully illustrates the truth of Matthew 6:33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Keep in mind, at the beginning of the book, Ruth was, in chapter 1, she was coming back with Naomi to the home, to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. She came back as a poor widow, and she came back doing the job of a poor widow, gleaning in the fields. By the end of the book, she's married to one of the richest men in town, and she owns the field she was gleaning in, and she marries, again, a rich man who loves the Lord, and she ends up having a baby who ends up being in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a redeemer we serve. Again, it's a powerful picture of the redeeming love of God. And again, keep in mind the fact that Boaz is a kinsman redeemer in the book. Symbolically, Boaz stands as Christ does in our life. Boaz did for Ruth what Christ does for us. He redeems us in his redeeming love and makes us brand new and puts us up as kings and priests in the kingdom of God. What a powerful and a wonderful story. But again, a key was Ruth was wise enough to leave the land of Moab, which stood for a land of sin, a land of trouble, a cursed land, and moved with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem, Judah, which represented the land of obedience. Remember, all of us are called to be students who read God's word and obey it. And if you live a lifestyle of reading and meditating on God's word and obeying it, that's how you live in the land of obedience. The more you read and study God's word and apply it, the more you'll see God's hand of grace and blessing on you. Because remember, God's blessing is on his will. And where do you find out God's will? You find it in his word. So if you want to know what God wants you to do, read and meditate on his word. Now, keep in mind for persons that might be thinking, well, you know, I know the Bible reveals a lot of the will of God, but there are certain questions and issues I have, and it hasn't answered these other questions in my particular life. Well, of course, there are ways in which obviously the Bible is not as specific as we might want it to be. You know, the Bible doesn't say thou, John Jones, shall marry Susie Q and move to Cincinnati and become an engineer. No, it's not that specific. But remember, we do serve a God that is, in his grace, has given us his Holy Spirit. And remember, the word of God reveals much of the will of God in our lives. But the Holy Spirit, as we seek God and listen to God, the Holy Spirit can fill in all the gaps, all the areas where we need very specific guidance about questions, issues, decisions, or goals in our lives. The Holy Spirit can help us fill in all of those gaps as we learn to listen to God's word and as we draw close to the Lord. Remember, as we walk in close fellowship with God, again, our spiritual ear gets clearer and clearer and clearer. And also, you turn the volume of the Holy Spirit's voice up louder and louder in your life as you daily read and meditate on the word of God, and as you obey what you know. Now, for many people, their problem is they're not obeying what they know. You know, the word of God clearly tells us many things that every believer is called to do. But sadly, too often, as believers, we're not obeying like we could. And, you know, sadly, we're pretty good at excusing ourselves. We may say, just for example, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Well, the fact is, God is calling us to live a life where we fill our lives with prayer, where we have seasons of prayer, maybe in the morning, sometimes during the daytime, but as we praying as we go. But also, it's good to stay up later at night or get up early in the morning and really spend significant time with God in prayer, but live a lifestyle of praying. Well, if many believers were honest, they couldn't honestly say they do anything close to that. In fact, for some people, they'd be hard-pressed to say they spent more than a few moments in prayer every single day. What a tragedy. What a tragedy, because God clearly tells us, pray without ceasing. And even in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about putting on the full arm of God, it also talks about, encourages us to pray always. We're called to live our lives, filling our lives with prayer. And if we're wise, we'll come to realize there's great benefit in doing that. Because remember, through your prayer life, God pours grace into your life and he answers prayer. So the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he encourages us to ask, seek, and knock. In other words, ask in prayer, seek God in prayer, knock on the door of prayer. Because those that ask, receive. Those that seek, find. Those that knock, the door will be opened. All of us are called to live lives full of prayer. And so as we live a prayerful life, God will do many more things in the life of someone who spends significant time in prayer than in the life of those that don't. Now, if you say, I don't believe that, well, you just need to look to the word of God. Because remember, the key is God's word is his will. And if you want to know the will of God, look in the word of God. And so God's word clearly tells us over and over and again, God is calling us to be a people of prayer. He even refers to his church as the house of prayer. God's people should live prayer-filled lives. And so what I would encourage you, if you recognize that you haven't really been prayerful like you really could or should be, a good place to start is to go before the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I confess I've sinned. I've fallen short by not having prayed. Lord, anoint me today with the spirit of prayer. And ask God to set you on fire with the spirit of prayer, that ask him to empower your prayer life, to bless your prayer life. And you know the Holy Spirit will be glad to help you out. And as you pray more, you'll see the hand of God working more in you and upon your life as well. But also, not only in that area, we need to obey what we know. Again, not only are we called to live lives full of prayer, but we're called to be diligent students of God's word. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're to be believers who read and meditate on the word of God on a daily basis. Well, for some believers, they may not. For example, they may come home from church on Sunday morning and then next Sunday can't find their Bible because they don't know where they put it when they came home from church a week ago, haven't picked it up all week long. Well, that's what you call a starvation diet, okay? And That's why many believers are spiritually anemic. They're weak when it comes to things of the Spirit of God and in the kingdom of God, because they're not nourishing themselves on a consistent basis. So again, if you want to live in the land of obedience, that is, if you want to live a lifestyle of obedience, you must be a student of God's word, one who reads and meditates on it, and encourages your family to do the same and encourages others to do the same as well. Also in the Lord's Prayer, I think of this. Now, we're talking about just different individual areas in our lives where we need to obey. But in the Lord's Prayer, we're told, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Unforgiveness is a serious problem for some individuals. And sadly, sometimes believers can allow it to become a serious problem. Understand this, unforgiveness is very dangerous to your walk with God. Because remember this, if you don't forgive others, then that basically can put a wrench in God forgiving you. And the fact is, unforgiven people don't go to heaven, okay? Only forgiven people go. So don't let unforgiveness get in the way of your walk with God. You need to take seriously the need to forgive. Sometimes you may need to say, Lord, help me to forgive that person who did me wrong in that terrible way. Lord, ask me, help me, Lord, to really forgive like I need to. In fact, sometimes it's wise to do, basically to kind of go through a forgiveness inventory and basically to pray like this. Dear Lord, today, by faith, I confess I've sinned in some ways. Lord, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to help me. And let me just tell you, Lord, by faith, I forgive any and everybody that's ever done me wrong, Lord. I forgive them by faith, and I don't hold any grudges. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the reason that's so important is because sometimes you're holding grudges and you don't know them. They're not at the forefront of your mind. And the devil would be glad to keep it hidden from you because he wants you to keep unforgiveness in your life. Don't let him do that. Remember, unforgiveness is very, very dangerous when it comes to your walk with God, because it can lead to bitterness, and bitterness can lead to hatred, and it can lead to all other kinds of problems. And did you know unforgiveness is the cause of many forms of sickness in the lives of lots and lots of people? And it can cause trouble to start in one relationship that will spread to every other part of your life. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. Be obedient. Forgive, because God in his love and grace has forgiven you. Again, we've been looking at the topic of living in the land of obedience, and I hope that you'll make it your goal to live that way every single day. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to be a people that hear your word and do it as well. More and more, empower each one of us to be individuals who are faithful students of your word, reading and meditating on your word, and who are seeking daily to live your word in every part of our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that you let us know that in your word that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Help us to know that the greatest freedom we can have is as we live a life of obedience, moving in the power of your Holy Spirit in our life, doing what you tell us. We become a blessing to ourselves, and we become a greater blessing to our families. We become a greater blessing to the world as we simply hear your word and obey it. Help us to be individuals that are seeking to be obedient in every part of our lives. Help us to be obedient men and women, obedient dads and moms, obedient bosses, obedient employees, obedient who seek to honor you in every part of our lives. And Lord, help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to live lives of obedience, first to you, to their parents as well, and obedience to your word and your spirit. Thank you for the opportunity to live a life of obedience every day and thus live in the land of obedience. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been looking at the topic of living in the land of obedience. Go back and read the book of Ruth. It'll bless you and it will encourage your heart. And remember, make it your goal to read at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, and it will bless your socks off, okay? You'll be blessed. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.